Hi, my name is Sam Williams, and welcome to part one of episode number 98 of my 60 music podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. Welcome all of you to part one of episode number 98 of my 60 music podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. I'm Sam Williams, and for those of you who are just now discovering this podcast, either on the Apple Podcast app, or in Stitcher, or in iHeartRadio, or Google Play Music, or on Spotify, and you're wondering, so what the heck is this? I'm just going to give you a brief description of what this show is all about. Okay, so I'm Sam Williams, and I'm a 24-year-old songwriter slash producer, but I'm also a huge 60 music fan slash expert slasher, and each week of this podcast, I take one song by one artist in the 60s and split the show in two parts. First part of the show, I talk about my opinion on the song and why I think it's so good, or why I think it sucks, and do my own personal analysis on the original of the song, which will include the chords, melody, and lyrics. And the second part of the show, dig deep into the history behind that track. In that part of the show, I talk about who wrote the song, who produced it, what studio the song was recorded at, where that studio was located at, and the history behind the artist that wrote the song and the songwriter that, you know, the songwriter that wrote the song and the artist that recorded the song and who and the band that, you know, basically played on it, whether that be the session musicians or the band members themselves, and the studio the song was recorded at, and where that studio was located at, where a label the song was released on, where that label was located at, and the peak position of the song made up originally on the Billboard Hot 100 charts in the year and month it was released. All that is in the second part of the show. Now, before we move on to this week's episode podcast, I want to let you guys know that I'm really, really close to episode 100 of the show. And episode 100 is going to be an interview episode with Mike Vale, the bass player for Tommy James and the Shondells. And I'm almost done with the interview questions, writing them down, and Basically, the week of episode 100, I'm basically going to send him the interview questions, and then basically I'm going to, you know, do the interview for episode 100 that week. So this week will be a part one and part two. Part one, episode 98, and then part two, episode 99 next week, and then episode 100, which will be coming up the week after next week. So yeah, so I'm very excited to be doing that interview with Mike Vale, the Tommy James's bass player, or he was his bass player who played on all the hits of all the songs. And I'll be talking with him about, you know, the history behind that band and specifically how they got started and the crazy, just strange, out of this world and just totally almost frightening sort of story behind how they got signed to a label that was owned and controlled by the mob. And I'm going to get his side of the story on this, because Tommy James has done many interviews, you know, in the past, and has written a whole book about the band's history, but you never really hear too much from the other guys in the band. So this is going to be cool, because you're going to be getting an inside perspective on the history of the band from someone who doesn't really get a whole lot of press. You know, someone who was the bass player, I mean, he wasn't the main songwriter in the group, but he did co-write some pretty big hit songs for the band. But yeah, it's going to be really cool, because you're going to hear things from his point of view, which might slightly differ from the main guy in the band, which is Tommy James, but we'll see. I mean, it's definitely going to be a great interview. I'm very excited to interview him. He seems like a really nice guy. And yeah, so I can't wait to interview him. Moving on, let's get started in this week's song, shall we? Okay, so the song I'm doing this week is from a group that you may not be familiar with just by their name. I mean, if you're a millennial and you're listening to this podcast, you might not be familiar with their music just by knowing the artist's name. The name might not ring a bell to you, but I guarantee you it's a band that you should know about, and one that was extremely influential from the big names that you will definitely know about. And again, this is a duo, and you know, this duo specifically I'm doing this week, again, we're kind of going back to the early 60s. So there's going to be some crossover from the late 50s with the specific artist I'm going to be doing this week. So, and we will talk about that again in next week's episode. So we're going to dive into late 50s a little bit again. But this week's episode, I will talk about the sheer brilliance of the song, arguably the best song this duo ever recorded. And they recorded some really, really amazing songs. But, you know, we're going to talk about how infectious the song is and just how much it comes alive when you listen to it and how commanding it is and how easygoing it is at the same time to listen to. And it really just has it's just a fantastic record. And it's just literally, it's incredible. I mean, you know, it has the ability to just really just, you know, it catches your attention when you listen to it. It's just so, it might not be mind-blowingly amazing, but it's really, really well-written and well-produced record. It's just phenomenal. So to commemorate the 60th anniversary of this record by this group that had such a huge impact on pop bands in the 60s, you know, like ones that you would definitely know about by name. This song came out in April of 1960, which is 60 years ago this month. And it's by a duo called the Everly Brothers. The name of the song is called Kathy's Clown. Don't want you. Wow, that is a cool sounding record. Oh my God, that is just, it's so mesmerizing and it's just so, you know, really, really cool. I mean, it's just incredible. And it's also kind of hypnotic too. It really kind of, it has a very interesting feel to it. And in this week's episode, we're going to talk about what makes a song so good, both musically and lyrically. But first, let's get into the song's music. Okay, so this song might not have the most incredible and interesting chord progression on the planet, but the thing that makes the song so vibrant and full of life is the way it sounds sonically and how it's mixed. You see, in this song, the drums sound larger than life. They sound like they're given extra compression and so much attention to detail when the engineer mixed the drums for the song and recorded them. And, you know, so much attention to detail was brought into the song, which makes this record very exciting to listen to. I mean, it almost sounds like there was at least two drummers on the song, even though in reality there was only one. I mean, they just sound so huge. But that's what makes the song sound so incredible, because it literally sounds like two drummers playing on top of each other, and they sound so loud and so vibrant that, I mean, they literally jump out of the speakers when you listen to the song. But in the next episode, we're going to talk about exactly how they got that effect with this track, how they made it sound like there were two drummers, even though there's only one in this song. And also, one more important thing to consider about this song, and I know I've talked about this before on my podcast. If you go back and listen to the episode I did in the Ventures, you'll hear me talk about this. But the thing to keep in mind about this particular track is that in most versions of this song, most of them exist in stereo. Now, if you remember the episode I did in the Ventures, you'll notice that I mentioned that 90% of his hit records recorded in the 60s were pressed on mono 45s, since very few people had stereo record players back then. But over the years, and quite some time after these records came out, a lot of these songs were remastered into stereo by taking the original source master tapes of these songs and mixing them in the stereo, which means that you had instruments coming out of both speakers instead of just one. Very much like how people listen to music through headphones or earplugs. You basically have both speakers working together, and you have some instruments on one side and other instruments on the other side. You know, you have two ears, right? So obviously, you know, your ears are going to pick up different things, but some ears are going to pick up the same thing, and that's kind of the concept of stereo. And I went in more into that in when I talked about the Ventures. So if you go back and listen to that episode, you'll definitely hear me go over that. But the other important thing to keep in mind is that this is not how the kids of the 60s heard these recordings originally, because the way people heard their music, you know, back then was on the radio back in the 60s. You know, most of it, pretty much 90% of it, was on AM radio and tiny mono speakers. And depending how good of a signal you got, you would oftentimes get some distortion going on with things being heard in mono. And definitely some reverb as well. I mean, basically, you know, it was everything. And again, I wanted to explain to you exactly what the difference between mono versus stereo, but mono basically means everything is coming out of one speaker. There is no, separation of the instruments or the vocals. Everything's just on one speaker. And that's how, you know, the kids of the 60s heard these songs when they first came out. Everything was all coming out of one speaker instead of two speakers. But if you're someone around my age and you're just now discovering these songs, you have the luxury of being able to hear a lot of these songs in stereo. Because, look, we all have Bluetooth headphones, you know, and we all have earbuds. So we're able to hear a lot of these songs in stereo, meaning basically you have things on both sides of the hearing spectrum. You'll be able to hear things on the left side, on the right side, and some things in the center. But definitely this isn't how your parents heard these songs back in the day. And it's really because of modern technology, aka computers, that came into development once we really got started on life. So people my age, you know, we grew up listening to songs in stereo, you know, because FM radios in stereo, you know, and basically, you know, most CD players, a lot of them were in stereo, you know, so we had the luxury of being able to hear songs in stereo when our parents, most of them heard stuff in mono. And, you know, as like I said before, most 45s, that those little, you know, singles that our parents used to get when they used to go to the record stores, most of them were pressed in mono, you know, so that's the way they heard these songs. Most of them were mixed in mono. And in this song, the stereo mix is especially cool because it separates the two completely different guitar parts, so you can hear them as if they are playing together in a room, with one guitar being panned hard left and the other hard right, and with certain parts of the drum kit being on both speakers and the piano on the left speaker. Now, a lot of people are divided as to which is better, you know, because a lot of these songs, most of them exist with both mono and stereo mixes. You know, so there's versions where everything's on one speaker and there's version where everything is separated in two speakers. And people are really divided as to which is better, the mono or stereo mixes. Now, a lot of people who grew up listening to this music back in the 60s, you know, they're purists when it comes to the mono mixes. They only really want to hear the stuff in mono, you know, because that's how they heard it back in the day when they grew up listening to the songs on AM radio. And they prefer to hear these songs the way they first heard them when they were coming out of their little AM radio speakers, which is a mono. And most of those people our parents' age. But as for me, since I first heard a lot of these songs on a stereo FM oldie station, I've always gravitated towards hearing these songs in stereo. And I also think that in stereo mixes, you'll be able to hear certain instruments in a mix a lot better than in mono, you know, because you'll be able to hear certain things that you really can't hear in mono. Especially when you're listening to these songs through earbuds or through a really nice pair of headphones. And I'm sure that if you're somebody that's around my age listening to this podcast, you'll agree with me. You'll be like, yeah, I like hearing stuff in stereo too. And that's just the short at the end of it. And also, as far as the harmony of the song is concerned, pay close attention to something you probably didn't even think about when you're listening to this song. And if you do decide to listen to it. Even though the song is pretty basic as far as the chord changes are concerned, I mean, basically, it's 1-5, 1-5, 1-5, and then there is a 6, and then there is a 4-5, and then it's 1-5, 1-5. It's basically, it's not that complicated. I mean, in the verses, it does kind of a cool thing where it's like, you know, 1-4, 1-4, 1-4, and then, you know, and then 4-6, 4-6, 4-6-5. I mean, it's really not that complicated. But the thing to keep in mind about the chord changes of the song is that pay close attention to how similar it sounds to harmonically compared to a song which was a huge hit by the Beatles in 1964 called I Should Have Known Better. And notice how both songs have the lead singer stretched out one of the notes in the melody, and the chord changes for both these songs are almost identical. I mean, they all have that G to D thing going on and that E minor to C to D thing. But the key thing to remember is that this song by the Everly Brothers came out before the Beatles were even a thing in the UK and America. This song came out in 1960, and the Beatles didn't even put out their first album until 1962. And there's a good chance that one of the guys in the band heard this song and took the elements of it and put it into one of their songs. But we'll talk more about the influence this duo had on the Beatles and so many other bands in next week's episode. But also, one of the other really cool arrangement characteristics in the song is when when the whole band comes to a stop to a few parts in the song and the vocals take over. I mean, you notice that there's some parts where the band keeps playing and then everything drops. The whole band drops and the vocals come in and then the band comes back in again. And this was not an uncommon harmonic characteristic for songs in the late 50s and early 60s. A lot of songs did this, but you stopped really hearing it when the 60s moved on from the early 60s to the mid and late 60s. They kind of stopped doing that once the British Invasion happened and psychedelic rock came about. But it's something you can incorporate into one of your songs as well. And also, notice how the song utilizes cut time, where in a lot of portions of the song, each chord only lasts for half a bar. So in the music world, we call this 2-4 instead of 4-4, and the piano isn't really audible until the song verses come in after each chorus repeats. And when it comes in, it gives you a nice break from the repetitive instruments, the guitar, bass, and drums. So this is definitely a guitar, bass, and drum-driven song, but the drums are definitely the forefront of this song. But then the piano comes in, and it gives you kind of a nice break from all that. But again, this is all the song is really all about the drums, and the drums play a really cool marching beat in the song. And, you know, again, the drummer plays a beat where he kind of slips and kind of almost plays a little behind the beat, you know, almost to create this sort of like really cool sort of echo effect, you know, and that's awesome. And we'll talk more about that in next week's episode. But moving on, let's talk about the song's lyrics, because this is, again, one of the songs that has a super relatable lyric, but it's also one of those tunes that plays around the lyrical dynamic, which we call, a songwriter's call, third person. But it's also subtly switches back and forth from the first person to the third person, and the song starts out in first person, as the main guy's the song declares that he wants absolutely nothing to do with the girl that he used to date and now he's broken up with. And he talks about how much he dies a little bit every single time he even hears the sound of his ex in his presence. But notice how in this part of the song, he switches to third person and he starts to talk about the song's title, you know, which he's obviously Kathy's clown. You know, here he comes, that's Kathy's clown. Now, the funny part about this song is that even though in the chorus he's referring to Kathy's clown and he's doing it from third person as another guy, there's a good chance that he is in fact Kathy's clown. And then in the first and second verses talk about how he tries to be strong and not weak emotionally, but he can't help but cry whenever he hears his ex telling other people lies. Okay, so let me stop here. If you've ever been through a breakup with a nasty ex-girlfriend or boyfriend, then I'm sure this song will resonate with you in many ways, because its situation that is described in the song is very timeless. And you don't have to be a baby boomer or the generation that grew up listening to this song to be able to relate to its lyrics, because this is something that could definitely happen today. But maybe not in person, but definitely over text or on social media. Because you might still be following your ex on Instagram and you might die each time you see her Instagram story or one of her posts, which puts the song in a context with today's times. And interestingly enough, in the second verse, he again switches things up from first to third person when he seems like he's talking to some outside figure that isn't directly involved with the breakup, asking him or her, gee, do you think it sucks that she's treating me like this? This could be one of your really close friends who you DM on Instagram, who you talk to about the breakup, who isn't directly involved in it. But of course, the song is all about in-person interactions because it was before time in which we can talk to each other in a digital world. But now that we can, it may seem like the lyrics don't make that much sense anymore because, you know, we're all in lockdown right now. They're always really trying to see anybody in person. But all you have to do is put the lyrics in the context with today's times, and voila, this song surprisingly holds up. Because this isn't about something that was so specific, you know, to something that happened in the early 60s. You know, this, again, they're talking about a subject matter that could happen really any time. So all you have to do is flip up the perspective of the song being told in person. And, you know, if this song were kind of just sort of flipped it have it be the person telling the same story within like a digital format, and again it creates a situation that, you know, could something that holds up, and it's something that could happen today, you know. So that's just something to keep in mind with this particular song. I mean, it's basically the song starts out with the chorus and then it goes to the to, then it goes to the second, first verse, and then it goes to the chorus again, and then the second verse, and then it goes to the chorus. But again, and this is also one of the songs that's very short. It's 2 minutes and 28 seconds, which is unusual because we're so used to hearing those long three minute, 50 second, 4 minute, 30 second songs. But again, this was at a time where you really couldn't write a song that was over 2 minutes and 50 seconds or 3 minutes, because AM radio stations had to make sure that each song was under 3 minutes, so that way they can basically have time for commercials and everything. And you couldn't fit more than 3 minutes on a single set of a 45. And that's why each song had to be under 3 minutes, because otherwise, if it was over 3 minutes, you had to split the song into part one and part two. Part one being on the first side of the 45, and part two being on the second side of the 45, which is the B side. You know, that's just how technology worked back then, and now things are different, but you get the idea. So that concludes part one of episode number 98 of my 60 Music Podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. I'm Sam Williams, and if you enjoyed this week's episode of the podcast and you've never heard the song before, you never heard of this group before, and you're around my age and you're a millennial listening to this podcast, I'd really love it if you can email me at samltwilly@icloud.com. You can also reach out to me on Instagram at iHeartOldies and check out more of my original music at samwilliamsmusic.net. Now, I will be rebuilding my website, you know, so a new version of my website will be out pretty soon. I'll let you guys know when that happens. You know, I'm very excited to, you know, basically put out the new version of my website, and that will be out very soon. And I'll post a link to that in the description of this episode of this podcast. And as always, you can check out the two official playlists for this podcast. One's on Spotify, one's on YouTube. And there you'll be able to listen to all the songs I've talked about on my show so far, including some ones I've mentioned in interview episodes. And again, the reason why I have these playlists up, so that way you can get a good idea for what kind of music I talk about on my show. And you can basically, maybe you can, when listening to this podcast, you can give me some suggestions on some songs that I should cover next on my podcast that I haven't talked about yet. Because, you know, that might spark you, you might do your own personal research on the songs of the 60s. And you can kind of, and you can mention me some songs that I haven't talked about my podcast. And if that does give you any ideas, please send those to me at samltwilly@icloud.com. Or you can also reach out to me on Instagram, iHeartOldies. And yeah, so... Also, another way you can support my podcast other than listening to and following this playlist is go on my official Redbubble merchandise store. You can check out the official Redbubble merchandise store, which includes all the really cool merch I have for the show. You know, it's all online. And basically, if you order one, it'll ship directly to your door. And basically, it's it contains this, and all the merch contains this really cool logo that I had someone else design that I personally came up with the idea for. And the logo is basically the name of my podcast. It's actually, no, it's the catchphrase I say at the end of every episode of this podcast, and keep on trucking tight. I found the name of my podcast in the bottom. And it's really, really cool. I love if you can go on there and maybe purchase an item from the store. I really appreciate any kind of support for this podcast that you might have. And yeah, so you can do that. And the link to that store is in the description of this episode of this podcast. But if you don't have to buy anything, I would love it if you can also maybe send me some feedback on the logo, what do you think of the logo, of each item in the merchandise store, and also the price of each item in the store. And you can email those ideas, your feedback on that, to me at samltwilly@icloud.com. And you can also reach out to me on Instagram at iHeartOldies and send me that feedback as well. And yeah, so... I'm Sam Williams, and thank you guys again for joining me for this week's episode of my podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. And hopefully you're enjoying this podcast, and hopefully you're still listening to it, even though you're stuck at home right now. You know, I really appreciate it if you can keep listening to the show, even if you don't really have anywhere to go right now. But anyway, so I'm Sam Williams, and thank you again for joining me for this week's episode of my podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. Till next week, please keep things groovy.